All right, call to order. Let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance. All rise.
Here.
Commissioner
DeSimone?
Here.
Commissioner
Cook? Here. Commissioner
Curry? Present. Anybody like to make a motion to elect the chair to run tonight's meeting?
I make a motion to appoint Gary DeSimone to chair the meeting tonight.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 All in favor, say no. Nay. I'll change my vote to an aye. Approval of the agenda. A motion to approve the agenda. Anybody like to move? We don't normally do this, but I think we need to. Okay.
Chair, I make a motion that we approve the agenda in front of us.
Anybody like to second that?
I'll second.
All in favor say aye.
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 The agenda is approved unanimously. So we're here for a public land use hearing, a request for approval of a 10-lot planned unit development subdivision to be known as Creek Haven. This request will create 10 lots for residential development ranging in size from 2 acres to 2.5 acres with a 6.16 acre tract of land for open space and includes a proposed new private road to serve as access for the PUD. The subject property is located at 9300 Monument Drive, map number 35-06-03-00. Tax lot 800 and 900, and it is zoned rural residential, RR 2.5. Procedures for a quasi-judicial land use hearing. This meeting of the Josephine County Planning Commission will be conducted according to the Josephine County Land Use Hearing Rules, found in Article 31 of the Josephine County Rural Land Development Code and Section 197.763 of the Oregon Revised Statutes, which governed the conduct of all public hearings. A summary of the rules follows. One, the planning staff will identify and explain the criteria and the standards applicable to this request. Two, testimony and evidence is to be directed to the criteria and standards. If you feel other criteria or standards apply and are not identified, you must raise the issue to the chair for a ruling. If the chair rules that additional standards apply, then testimony and evidence may be directed to them. Three, clearly raise and explain your issues in this hearing in order to be understood by the commission. Four, before conclusion of the hearing, any participant may request a continuance to submit new evidence or testimony. The commission must decide to either grant the continuance or keep the record open. In either case, the period of time must be at least 7 days. During the time of the open record, anyone may submit additional written testimony or evidence. Five, all persons testifying are considered a witness unless the person asked to be recognized as a party and the chair rules the person has party status. Party status is established in three ways. One, anyone who receives official mailed notice and testifies orally or in writing in this hearing. Two, anyone who testifies orally or in writing in this hearing who did not receive official mailed notice but establishes the use or enjoyment of their property is adversely affected by impacts from this proposed use or development that is different from the public at large. And three, someone who is aggrieved by an adverse decision. The chair will wait until you finish testifying to make a ruling on your party status. Six, participants are obliged to know and follow the rules and procedures. The planning staff present has a copy of the rules. The first item on the agenda is as follows, and we did read that, item number 3.1, the request for the 10-lot planned unit subdivision. Does anyone object to the jurisdiction of the commission to hear this matter? There being no objections, I will then ask, does any member of the commission wish to abstain from this matter? There being none, we'll continue. The Josephine County Rural Land Development Code sets time limits for testimony and staff report, no time limit. Proponents, introductory comment, 10 minutes. Proponent witnesses, 5. Others in favor and questions of staff, 5 minutes. Opponents representative, 10 minutes. Any opposition in other than that, 5 minutes. At the close of the hearing, a decision shall be made in the form of a finding with the presiding officer of the hearing body designating who shall prepare the findings. The criteria for the decision in this hearing shall be presented by the planning staff as part of the staff report. James Black, please give the staff report.
Good evening, commissioners. James Black, County Planning Office. I'm going to turn the microphone over and introduce Kayla Wallace. She's our associate planner in our department. This is our first land use hearing for us, and we're excited to get her out here in front of you guys, moving her forward. So I'm going to pass the mic on to Kayla. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Kayla Wallace. I'm an associate planner with Josephine County Planning Department. We are here tonight to discuss a proposed plan unit development. The subject properties are owned by Druthers Construction. The applicant is Yonser Enterprise. The representative for the project is Mark Cross of Ryan Cross Group. The applicant is seeking tentative approval for their request to subdivide tax lot 800 and 900 into 10 lots for residential development. Those lots will range in size from 2.0 acres to 2.58 acres with a 6.16 acre tract of land for open space. The PUD will be accessed by a newly created private road. Exhibit A in your staff report contains a copy of the tentative plan map. Some more general information on the project. The property is zoned rural residential with a 2.5 acre lot size minimum. Tax lot 800 is 9.77 acres in size, and tax lot 900 is 17.59 acres in size. The total acreage per the assessor map is 27.36 acres, while the tentative plan shows the actual acreage is 27.48 acres. Tax lot 800 is vacant, and tax lot 900 is developed with the residents. The statutory 150-day timeline expires on November 4th, 2019, which means that we have to have this decision and all appeals completed by that date. The review procedure for tonight per Josephine County Code Section 19.55020A, Review Authority, states that the Planning Commission shall have the authority to approve tentative plans for plan unit development subdivisions, to include specific departures from development standards and zoning requirements contained in this title, or other applicable county ordinances, rules, resolutions, orders, technical manuals, or publications and policies in order to accomplish the purpose of this chapter. And I'm getting ahead of myself, I forgot the slide. So that's the slide I just talked about. I was behind one. Background information on the application history for this project. A pre-application for Plan Unit Development Land Division was completed on August 29th, 2018. A full application for 10-lot plan unit development subdivision received on April 19, 2019, and further deemed incomplete on May 17, 2019. The applicant then submitted the required materials, and the application was deemed complete on June 7, 2019, which started that 150-day timeline. As you can see, the property is located off Monument Drive near Bannister and Corliss Creek. The surrounding zoning for the area is predominantly residential with 2.5 acre lots and some RR5 5 acre lots to the west. Here is the 2005 aerial image of the area, which identifies the streams. And here's an updated aerial image brought to you by Google Earth. These USGS maps are used to identify steep slopes on the properties. As you can see, the majority of the property is relatively flat. These are the applicable code sections that are used to reach a decision on this application, which I will briefly discuss each section. Tentative plan standards. We look at whether the property is a legal, authorized lot. Is the tract of land under one ownership? Does the proposal present plans regarding flood, wildfire and erosion hazards, and other development standards? The tentative plan criteria is in regards to infrastructure, utilities, and carrying capacity. Carrying capacity is the big one in this section in regards to access, water, septic. Can this land support the proposed development and fit cohesively into surrounding developments and environmental conditions? Specifically pertaining to PUDs, Section 19.55020 Review Authority identifies five categories of departures from standards for development that can be approved by the Planning Commission. They can approve departures in dimensional standards for lots, such as lot size and shape, setbacks, building height, etc. They can allow departures for street and access standards for private streets, can allow multiple and mixed uses within the development. They can allow the development to be completed in phases, and they may extend the permit life beyond the four-year maximum. This section also states that there are five areas where the Planning Commission may not depart. They cannot allow departures that conflict with state or federal law, cannot allow uses that are not permitted in the zone. They cannot allow the overall density to exceed the maximum zoning density. They may not waive environmental protection standards or apply a variance criteria and procedures. Special review standards for PUDs include placing utilities underground, requiring easements for extensions of public utilities, semi-public use areas can be counted toward open space, unique or scenic natural features of the land are preserved, and landscaping is provided for common areas. The development must comply with water testing standards. Common space areas must total a minimum of 20% of the land. Private streets shall be utilized on-site only. Maximum number of dwelling units in the development is 10, with the smallest lot size of 2.0 acres. The overall density of the development cannot exceed that of the zone, and the owner must submit deed restrictions for the open space tract. Special review criteria for PUDs include, again, the applicant must demonstrate that the land has adequate carrying capacity. The creation or extension of streets is in harmony with existing and potential access needs for the neighborhood. Parcels are designed to relate properly to adjoining or nearby lot lines, utilities, streets, etc. The development will not result in adverse impacts to other lands in the area. And any group or cluster of two or more dwellings will not force a significant change in accepted farm or forest practices on nearby land. Tentative plan requirements for PUDs, in addition to the requirements for all tentative plans, include identifying approximate building locations, proposed circulation patterns, location and nature of open space, areas of landscaping, proposed grading and drainage plans, table showing acreage devoted to development features, and list the standards that are proposed to be modified with a tentative plan. Another section exclusive to PUDs is the management of common areas and improvements. This section discusses the common areas and the requirement to establish a nonprofit corporation with articles of incorporation to manage these common areas. The articles of incorporation shall be approved in writing by the director, and a certified copy showing filing with the Oregon Corporation Commission shall be presented to the director as a condition of final plat approval. The applicant will also be required to record restrictive covenants, or CC&Rs, which shall also be approved by the director and filed simultaneously with the final plat. Staff received no written comments from neighbors during the public comment period. Several agencies commented on the proposal to include the County Surveyor, Public Works, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, and the Department of State Lands. These comments are provided as Exhibits B through E of your staff report. At that, staff would like to recommend that the Creek Haven Plan Unit Development Subdivision be approved with the proposed conditions listed in Exhibit F and the Public Works conditions in Exhibit C of your staff report. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have at this time.
Any commissioners have questions, yes?
Yeah, I was unable to make the last meeting where this was initially discussed. So where are we in the process of that? Is this a continuation in terms of an issue, or was it?
Yeah, we didn't discuss it all. We continued it, and nothing was discussed until this is the first time anything's being presented on this.
Oh, okay.
So
all right, so.
It'll be a first for everybody.
Okay.
There was no quorum last time, so.
Got it.
We had to open the meeting to continue it to a date and time certain, so just
okay.
Long enough to continue to today.
Okay, so it's not an issue that needs that. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
My question is, what criteria did you use to approve 2 acres rather than 2.5 acres?
The specific criteria that allows that is in the plan unit development criteria. Give me a second while I flip through the staff to the specific. I apologize, I'm trying to find this where it specifically states it.
In the staff report, page 8, item 6 on page 8 states, at a minimum, all lots and parcels shall meet the lot or parcel size requirements for the zone in which they are located. And the staff comment is, the lots in the PUD are below the lot size requirements, 2.5 acres minimum. However, they can be authorized under section 19.55.020, mm-hmm. Spot A, spot 1. That's where we have the authority to
right.
Go below the 2.5.
That answers the question for me.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have a map in front of me, and I might wait until there is one. But I do have a couple questions. Parcel 8 has existing structures on it, and I come from urban planning, so my question is, will these structures remain, and will they meet the setback standards?
Yes, these structures are intended to remain. This is lot will be considered one of the developed lots, and each proposed lot will be required to meet setbacks. And so as they've drawn the property lines, the applicant has told us that they will meet setbacks. And in the back of your exhibits, your exhibit A, it does show the tentative plan, mm-hmm. which I don't believe is actually to scale, but our full-size scale maps show that they are meeting the minimum setback.
Okay, on the existing on that, that's for lot 8 with them. Okay.
Correct. Yes, all structures, all the proposed lot lines were built around this so that they could keep all the proposed structures on that property as one residentially developed land.
Okay. My next one is the open space. It's tract A, and it's going to be semi-public, or is that semi-private? And where's the access to that?
The access will be use for the use of the subdivision. And so there will be a walking path that is proposed. If you look at sheet T1, there's a wood chip pedestrian trail, and it shows that there's access coming off of Haley's Way, which I believe the applicant will be able to speak more to how they can access that and the use of their specific property.
And at this point, this is a walking access. You said this isn't, there's not a driving access to get to it?
No.
At this point, okay.
It's semi-public. It's proposed for use to utilize by people that live in this specific. So it's not going to be a park area that anybody off the street could go to. They, part of the CCNRs and the Articles of Incorporation that they create, they're all going to have a shared ownership in this space. And so that's what makes it semi-public, is that all 10 lots share an ownership in it, and they will share in the tax cost and in the maintenance for it. So it'll be their space to enjoy as being a part of this PUD.
So this isn't, this won't be public at all. This is private space for this. Does that meet the requirement for the planned unit development for the 20% space there?
Yes, it is 20% space for them to use. It's not dedicated to the public. It's dedicated semi-public for the use of all 10 of those lots.
And that meets the PUD requirements. I'm not, you,
yes.
This is a new PUD ordinance to me. I'm not up to speed on this one.
Yes.
They're all a little different. So, okay, that's all I have for now, but I'm sure more will come up. Thank you.
Any other questions for Kayla?
Nope, not here.
We're now moving to an opportunity for the proponents to speak. So, proponents, introductory comment. State your name and address for the record.
My name is Mark Cross. Address is, I'm going to give my home address, 112 North 5th Street, Klamath Falls, Oregon, 97601. That is my business address. good evening, commissioners. And I wanted to thank Kayla for doing a great job. You'd never know that was your first time, so. So I was just going to talk a little bit about a planned unit development again and why we proposed it on this site. One of the provisions in the county code is that a planned unit development can be proposed when there's an opportunity for open space and to keep the sensitive areas that are Bannister Creek and Corliss Creek within an open area. That open area will not be developed, so we don't need to have a vehicular access. We are proposing to put a wood chip path through that area so that the neighborhood can use that as a walking space and enjoy that open space. The PUD gives the opportunity for the applicant to develop the parcel to the full potential allowed by the zoning. So, you know, you divide 27.5 acres by 2.5, you can almost get 11 lots. You really could only get 10, which is what we're proposing. The minimum lots you can propose in a PUD is 10 lots, so we're proposing that. We did hire a wetland consultant to go look at Bannister Creek and Corliss Creek. The wetland consultant did submit a wetland determination to to DSL. They did not find any evidence of wetlands, but they did name both creeks as, I think Bannister Creek was a class one stream, Corliss Creek was a class two stream, which means that we have a 50-foot setback is all from those creeks. We haven't really, I guess, determined what we're gonna do with our pathway when they cross those creeks, whether we're gonna just do a bridge or something like that. Maybe the applicant can speak to that. We also had two septic evaluations done for this site to show that the septics will work for the proposed properties, as well as we had two new wells drilled at various locations on the property. We also analyzed the existing residence has an existing well, existing septic that have both been performing well. Our layout was designed to try to take advantage of some existing intersections on Monument Drive. So our main entry is lining up with Haley's Way, and that's going to access the site with a cul-de-sac. And then our emergency access, because our cul-de-sac is longer than 150 feet, we have an emergency access that goes basically through lot 7 and 8 and intersects Monument Drive at another existing intersection, which is Red Mountain Drive. Which brings me to our review of the staff report. We agree with everything except for one condition we'd like some more discussion or an opportunity maybe for some more discussion with County Public Works. Exhibit C Condition number 13 basically states that our emergency access needs to utilize the existing driveway for lot 8 instead of the location that's proposed on our tentative map. There you go, James is bringing you a big one. Our feeling is that an emergency access that goes through all those existing structures, there's a very narrow corridor between the house and the first carport. The applicant does want to retain all of those existing structures, and we just feel that that's not a great place to put an emergency access. If the lot number 8 had a RV parked in the driveway or a party and had several people there, then that access could potentially not be used as an emergency access, whereas where we're showing the emergency access right now, we're going to protect that with some removable bollards so that it's it would be unable to be used as a normal access and would only be used in emergency accesses, which I believe meets the intent of the county code. So I guess we would request that that condition be have some verbiage added at the end and say, or as approved by the county engineer. And maybe Neil can speak to whether he has an issue with that or not since he's here. Other than that, we would request approval of the PUD before you tonight, and I'm available for any questions as well.
So, any questions for Mr. Ross?
Nope.
Questions?
Thank you.
Are there any proponent expert witnesses here to speak? State your name and address for the record.
Thank you. My name is Grant Yonser. Address is 105 Jack Creek Road, Grants Pass 97526. I'm one of the owners of Druthers Construction and largely the person responsible for the design work. So a long process. It seems like we had nearly every government agency involved that you could have on a project. We're pretty happy with the outcome, and largely because of this large open space. You can't quite see, but lots 3 through 6, there's actually some grade change between the upper development site that we're going to use and down towards the bottom of the creek space. All that space down there is just so naturally beautiful that when we first saw the property, my first thought was, try not to touch it. When you, to get across the creek, there's actually a building site that would be on the far west end of Tract A. I thought the expense of getting there, one, financially, and two, the cost of the green space would not be worth getting there. And so that's what led towards how do we get the density closer to meeting the maximum for the acres that we've got without having to do that. And so we cannot go below the 2.5 acres without giving some of that. So we can go from 2.5 acres down to a 2 acre minimum, but only if that other half acre is utilized in some fashion. So we couldn't take a 10 acre parcel and find some creative way to get 5 pieces out of it. It doesn't quite work that way. In this case, it's 1/2 acre from each parcel went towards this open green space that we're trying to protect. So we could have probably just left it as an open green space thinking that was good enough, but walking it a couple of times, we decided, wouldn't it be really neat if the people living here could just walk out their door, walk down, and go. It'd be roughly a 1/2 acre loop or a 1/2 mile loop. So a good 10, 15 minute walk for people where they'd feel pretty safe and seeing some great scenery. In terms of trying to cross the creek, the 2 times that I went across, it's not a very high volume creek at all. The 2 times I saw it, it was completely dry. So it widens out in several places where even with a moderate amount of flow, you'd be able to just walk across naturally. So we don't anticipate needing to put in any kind of a bridge work or anything like that. If we did feel like it became necessary at some point, we understand that we would need to talk to DSL at that point because we're messing inside their territory. I just don't see that being an issue. So I think the plan right now would be as we're taking out some trees to make the roadways and the house sites work, instead of just hauling them off and or burning them up, we would try and bring a chipper out and use all those chippings to create a trail that's going to hold up long term. So that's kind of where the whole plan for the natural walking trail came from. A few more comments about the fire access. I talked to Mark about it a little bit, and it would actually be because the existing driveway for Lot 8 goes almost to the center point of the existing tennis court on the map. It would be a shorter distance of a driveway for me to build to come somewhere out lot 10 or lot 9. So it wouldn't, it's not an expense thing for us to suggest that we keep it on lot 7 and 8. It just would be my opinion that if there were a fire somewhere on lot 1, lot 2, lot 10, it seems to me that we would want the emergency fire access to be as far away as possible. So I understand we're trying to reduce the number of driveways on Monument Drive, but at the same time, if there is a fire event, I could see us all looking back going, that was a mistake. So, like Mark said, it's kind of still open for discussion. We're just giving you kind of our input, and ours, my gut says, get it as far away as possible. So that's just really where that request is coming from. Other than that, we thank the staff. And thank you guys for showing up, and if you have any questions for us, just let us know.
Any questions for Grant?
Looks good. Thank you.
No questions, thank you. For the proponents, others in favor, anybody needs to take to the podium? None. Questions to staff? And there's no written, any, receive any written comment cards for anybody?
There was one.
Oh, there's one. Where's that? Neil, well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that for item four. So we're up to opponents. Any representatives, any opponents here to speak? Opposition witnesses. Others in opposition. Questions to the staff of opponents. There being none, we're now up to staff and agency comments. And we do have a card here from Neil Burgess, the county engineer, representing Josephine County Public Works. And he says he will need to speak if public work conditions are challenged, which I believe we do have a challenge from public work. So we'll ask Neil to come up and talk about the fire access, the emergency access between lots 7 and 8.
Okay, good evening. My name is Neil Burgess, Josephine County Public Works. I'm the county engineer. And we looked at this, and what we have here is these driveways do not meet our access spacing standards for the new proposed access and the existing access with the surrounding accesses. And we did get some driveway spacing standards adopted through the Board of County Commissioners in 2017, right? And they're really restrictive. This is a rural major collector, so the access spacing is around 600 feet probably for a collector like this. So these we're looking at what, a couple hundred feet apart. And then I kind of came up with the new access spacing standards. I kind of have the nod of approval through the Board of County Commissioners to kind of have additional non-conforming accesses approved. So on a situation like this, we have the new one, and then we're with the existing driveway. Okay, that can stay because it's serving an existing purpose, and it's one additional non-conforming on a rural major collector. This is our highest classification of road. So then to allow a third access, even though it's just for emergencies, it's still another approach that we don't want for this third access that they're proposing. So since they already have an existing access through lot 8, yeah, it does go between the existing garage and carport and house. And I thought that was just the best compromise, if that makes sense, to use the existing approach as an emergency access. Now, but at the same time, this isn't the forum to decide whether this access goes in or not. It's not a planning commission decision. This is public works decision, and it's a Board of County Commissioners decision to make this, whether this access is approved or not. It's not, you know, up to the Planning Commission to decide where accesses are off public right away, if that makes sense to you. So it isn't even on the table for discussion for tonight. So the problem is if you want to change the planning conditions of approval, is what you're going to do is you're going to create like a catch-22 is we work under, Public Works works under the Public Works Director, which works under the Board of County Commissioners. We don't work under the Planning Commission. So if you change these commission, these conditions, then it's gonna just, we had this happen in the past when we had another one, and then the applicant had to appeal it back to the County Commissioners, and it just turned out to be a big mess. So
do Can we get a picture of that existing drive? I'm just looking at the map of Lot 8 showing the house and the tennis court and the carport and where that, I think I see where it exists. Is it to the north of the house? Is that where the drive is currently?
Well, that means those setback standards wouldn't be met, right?
What was your question?
For the existing structures, if we went through with the road that's there, then what is there would not meet the standards, the setback standards, if there was a road to go through there.
Well, it's just a path. If you look on the aerial photo, it kind of shows like they're actually kind of using that and accessing back there anyways right now. I mean, that's how they access behind their property now, behind the house and the tennis courts.
Question. So basically you're saying that the proposed development is not meeting the minimum requirements of the Public Works Department regulations relating to access, so it's not really an issue here as far from the commission end of things. That would have to go up to the commissioners to make the exception to the code. I just want to make sure I'm understanding this correctly.
So right now they have their existing access. They're proposing a new access for the private road.
Mm-hmm.
It's non-conforming to our access spacing standards.
Got it.
And then they're proposing an additional third access for the fire access road, which is also non-conforming. So we'll have two additional non-conforming approaches, and I'm trying to limit that to one additional non-conforming approach. And then, if they don't like the conditions, I would recommend you guys approve the subdivision with Public Works conditions, and then if they want to contest it, they have to contest it to the Board of County Commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
And they would file an appeal at that level.
And that's where they could make the changes.
Right, that's where they can challenge our access spacing standards.
Because we can't do that.
Planning Commission does not have authority to challenge or to override our access spacing standards.
Gotcha.
Any way to maybe use that new emergency access and create a drive off into Lot 8 and then eliminate that current drive into Lot 8 would maybe be a possibility? Oh, yeah, okay.
Would the one benefit of that, however, be that it's adjacent to Red Mountain Drive? Would the Public Works say that is more favorable than even the current driveway?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because of the.
So we would say we want two accesses and not three.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather have this one, but then they'd have to reconfigure the driveway to the existing
right.
house and all that. So, and we do have a process, what is called a design modification process, and they can submit that. And we can say if it's
maybe an easement through lots.
Certain criteria for that.
But again, I don't think that's under our purview. I think the point that Neil's making is that this is going to fall for approve the condition as is and let the applicant then appeal to
since it's not under your purview, if you change the Public Works conditions, then you're going to force that applicant to appeal to get the condition back.
Right.
Yeah. No, I'm happy as long as they have an avenue to work with you and the commissioners on that. I don't see that again as an issue.
Right. So if you change our condition, you're forcing them to appeal to. Am I making sense to get the condition that they want? Or you could just approve it with the condition they don't want, and then they can appeal it later. Or they can accept our condition and move forward and not have to appeal. Does that jive? Does that make sense?
Either way we do it, they'll appeal. Right?
I don't know.
Yeah. Awesome.
But we have other avenues to work with us. We have the design modification process that they can work with us at the staff level in different ways to get around this.
Any questions for Neil or...
Thank you.
Any other staff or agency comments? Okay, since there was no opponents, I don't think we need an applicant's rebuttal or opponent's surrebuttal. So just a summation, if you'd like to do a summation the applicant's representative. We have 5 minutes of summation.
Basically, I guess we weren't requesting the condition to be removed or modified. I guess I would like it to give it an avenue to be able to work with staff versus appealing. I don't like appealing any decisions. So to me, if you say, or as approved by the county engineer, at the end of that, that gives us an avenue to work with staff instead of going to a appeal to the county commissioners. And I don't know if that's possible or not. But that was our request. It wasn't a request to necessarily remove that at this point. Again, we just request, I mean, other than that one condition, we're happy. And if it comes down to a yes or no, we would just request the approval of the subdivision with the conditions as written.
Any questions? I'd like to call Neil back up for one quick moment. So his suggestion was looking at item 13 on the conditions. Emergency access shall be taken through existing access to proposed lot 8 or as approved by county engineer. Would that be something that would make less red tape or headache for you and the applicant when working with you? Or would you suggest leaving it as is and they'll be able to?
Yeah, we'll still be able to do it because we have in our standards and specifications for construction, we have a section 104 and it's a design modification process. So that's already been adopted by the county commissioner. So we can put that in or we can leave it out.
Leave it out then. If it, as long as it's there for them and they know that. Okay, thank you. That leaves us time to discuss the matter. So, discussion.
I personally don't see any objection to the project. We wish them luck.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the county engineering will work with them on that.
I agree. I think they've met all the requirements and looks good to me.
It's my first PUD for a larger scale and they met all the requirements and it went really well.
I think at first we had no opponents. Usually there's someone complaining about a well or something, no. You know, but none. So
all the ducks were in a row. Everything was great.
Any other discussion? So we'll close the record on this, and it's time for deliberation and decision. So we'll just work our way across and just maybe give a few reasons about your thoughts on this.
Well, I think it was very well planned. The county staff has done a good job in getting all their eggs in order, and we appreciate the hard work on both sides they have done, and I approve of the project.
For the first county PUD that I've ever looked at, I think this is a great example.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be a real asset to the community, and I don't. I think it met all the requirements. So, yeah, I'm in favor of it.
Yeah, my one question I had was maybe the access across the creeks, but you had mentioned if you did do anything that you'd work with the appropriate agencies to make sure it's done right. And so yeah, I'd like to see it, but anyway, that's not our purview. So, anybody like to make a motion to? Approve? Anybody?
Yes, I'll make a motion to approve the Creek Haven Planned Unit Development Subdivision with the proposed conditions listed in Exhibit F and C.
Anybody second?
Second.
Motion seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That being unanimous, it's approved.
Chairman, real quick, if you guys could make a comment on who shall prepare the findings, that would be wonderful for staff. Typically, the applicant would be doing the findings in these cases.
Okay. That's back. Here it is. Is that it? Yeah. So the applicant will produce findings and present those to staff. Would that be accepted by the applicant? We need to hear a comment from them? Yes?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So with that, that finishes item number three, and we're moving on to item number four, matters from the Planning Commission. Who will we be, any matters from the Planning Commission?
I have a question.
Yes.
Now, I did not say this before, and I think I'm supposed to. I went by the property. I didn't think that that was ex parte contact. It affect how I was going to vote. I like to lay eyes on the land that I'm going to be voting on. Do I need to state this before the opening of the hearing?
So you went to the property?
Well, I went to Monument Drive and looked.
Okay, you drove by the property, okay.
I do, to me, and I have heard here that it's called ex parte. I didn't talk to any applicant. I didn't know anybody. I like to lay eyes on the property.
Sure. If it was me, I would, what you did, there's no harm, no foul there. You didn't talk to anyone. I would basically, before it starts, I'd probably just mention it. By the way, I drove by and looked at the property. You're disclosing it.
Okay.
That's the important part. You're just disclosing, but I didn't talk to anyone. You'll just say that.
Absolutely.
In this case, from what you're telling me, I don't see any issues here.
I have been told here in the past that is ex parte, I'm questioning
that.
So,
yeah, we're going to do some workshops where County Legal will come in, and they are the ones who will give you the, they have a nice lecture on how to, why and how they do what they do.
Oregon League of Cities, several of them, this is not my first rodeo.
Sure.
As a planning commissioner, and never going to a property has been called ex parte contact. Talking to the applicant, yes, mm-hmm. or talking to someone about the property or about it has been, I thought, legally ex parte contact. Yeah. Looking at what I'm going to be making a decision on, to me, this doesn't seem it should be
ex parte. County Legal Counsel has their opinion, which we shall follow. That's kind of
how. I will follow.
And I think in general it was discussed, maybe it was before your time, where it's if you're passing it every day or in a normal course of business, that's all right. But
that's okay.
Go to it, that's still kind of frowned upon. But we'll have that workshop.
Okay, I really appreciate that, because this, to me, it's like, you know, I mean, I'm going to go buy everything in the county because I live here.
Yeah.
You bet.
James can answer a lot of questions as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Other than that, that was just a question that I had.
Okay.
Any other matters from the Planning Commission?
No.
Comments from the public. Items not on the agenda.
Do I need to state my name and address for the record again? Sure. Grant Yonser, 105 Jack Creek Road, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97526. My question came about from Neil's comment that this body does not have the authority to make any kind of a change to any recommendation from Public Works. We can address that with the county commissioners, but my question would be, does the planning staff not also work for the county commissioners, and do you have any authority at all to talk about any of their conditions? It seems like that's not lining up with what we normally have in these scenarios where we're here to discuss their issues and get your intake and your input in any tweaks. So, not asking for a response, how is one department that is employed by the county commissioners handled any differently than another? Just a question for future.
Any other comments from the public?
One response to that is there is some legally guidelines given in what the Planning Commission can do and what they cannot do based on the legal framework in which we are working. So that particular issue is outside of our ability to make it, you know, a change, if you will.
Mm-hmm. So the development code in its entirety.
Is it we have to have you step back to the microphone. Sorry about that.
So that's really where my question comes about. So the development code is written in its entirety to guide us all through this process.
Mm-hmm.
The conditions given to Public Works by the county commissioners is another guideline to get us through this process. So what they're saying is You do have the authority to have some communication back and forth, some give and take, some massaging or twisting of the development code in the development of this community, but Public Works is telling you, you have no purview here. This goes Board of Commissioners or not. Mm-hmm. So why would the entirety of the development code, which is basically the encompassing model for all development, be able to have your input and get your fingerprints on it, but one little piece that controls the public work access standard, they're telling you have no authority whatsoever. And it's beyond my comprehension at this point. Also, it's a question that I'm going to see through. I just thought that was a little bit strange.
And my take in sitting here, we have made some changes to conditions. So,
do you see that? Why,
yeah,
I'm saying,
yeah,
if we can change
so,
conditions,
and you,
why?
So my point of questioning to Neil was, do they still have the avenue to work with getting that maybe approved through either discussions with you before it goes to the board or through?
It'll go to the Board of Commissioners.
The Commissioners.
It'll go to them almost for certain. Yeah. But so would any condition that you would change inside of the development code. If I didn't like some condition that you put, I'd have to go there also. Mm-hmm. What Neil is telling you is don't touch it, which is completely contrary to what we're doing with the development code.
Yeah, and again, I do have questions with that as well.
Yeah.
I'll discuss that.
So that's all. I'm just raising the question for everybody.
My also take is any vote we have here is a recommendation to the commissioners. They are the ultimate authority.
Correct.
And that's my question was around, do you still have that option?
Yeah, so what I've seen in the past, this is my first experience here also with the county commissioners. What I've seen at the city level where we have the planning commission and the council is that the planning commission wasn't so certain, they would still send it up with what they thought was correct. So if you felt like it needed to be moved farther for safety, you say it, because we have to go to the next level anyways. I don't know necessarily that that's how it works. I just making this whole comment about, I think it's a lesson for all of us to wonder what's really the authority of the board in this case. Thank you.
Thank you. Sure, yeah. Clarity is a good thing. Transparency.
My name's Eric Hesacker. I'm a transportation planner in Public Works, 201 River Heights Way. So what Neil was alluding to earlier with a previous instance of this happening, it was a mess, and the legal department got involved, and so here's my take on it. The planning department has a great big fat binder they work out called the Rural Land Use Development Code. That code has no authority over the public rights of ways throughout the county. The rights of ways are governed by a little spiral bound book, and I wish I had one here. It's called the Josephine County Design Standards Manual. And in that manual, you find section 104 that Neil was talking about, where you can request a modification to anything contained in that document. And contained in that document are the access management standards. And I don't know if you have your copy of our conditions in front of you, but at the top of that, we put a note now. Every time we write comments like this, because of the mess that we got in several months ago, to read through the conditions, and if you don't like them, please contact us and come in and see us, and we'll walk you through the Section 104 modifications to our standards. For lack of a better term, you can think of these modifications as a variance, because that's actually what is a variance to our road standards. And I have a lot of faith that when your engineer files for one of these modifications, that we'll be able to work out an agreement. And that's why we put this note at the top of the comments now. So this body does not have authority over the public rights of ways. They have the authority over whatever's contained in the planning document. And I worked at a few jurisdictions, and I've never seen it this way either. I agree with you. Why isn't it all encompassing? It's just not written that way here. And the legal department, they'll have a much more technical background of all this and make it more understandable than what I'm attempting to do here. But I get the confusion, and I understand it. And going through our modification process, we will be able to find some sort of resolution to all this somehow. And if that doesn't work, then I guess it's an appeal to the Board of County Commissioners. But that, in a long roundabout way, that's why we put the note at the top of the comments now.
And yeah, that note
with
here.
Mark on several projects. We know we can work with him. I don't see any difficulties here myself. I don't think I'm speaking out of turn. I'm not predicting the future. But we've gone through the modification process before.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you.
Any other comments from the public? This could just go on for a while now. There being none, we'll go to item 6 on the agenda, Community Development Deputy Director's Report.
James Black, Deputy Director, Community Development. I don't have anything to really report on other than we are working on some new text amendments that will be you guys will be seeing soon. We're rewriting some items under mass gatherings. We're rewriting, we're restructuring our medical hardship sections. We lost medical hardships to an ordinance which removed them. The detached living space ordinance actually removed things out of the development code that basically eliminated our process on how to do medical hardship. We want to get that back in there. Right. It was an oversight, something that was missed, but we're working on that, trying to get, so you will be seeing some text amendments coming your way. Other than that, I don't have anything else to report. Mark Schexnader, our associate planner, you might have seen him present the Farm and Forest text amendments. You might have remember that a few months ago. He has put in his 2 weeks notice, and he'll be leaving us. We wish him his best in his new adventure. So, but we will be advertising for new planners at that point in time. So, that's all I have for this.
I have a question.
Sure.
Are we ever going to see the planning director here someday?
Right. I will get him. I will get him here on one of these next hearings this fall. This summer's been crazy busy for him. He's also our building official, so he wears several hats right now. So we will get him in here so you guys can formally be introduced to him for sure. Thank you for asking.
Thank you.
Yeah. So that's it.
With that, the meeting is adjourned.